Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to learn to be equipped to grow in the knowledge of Christ. As we spend time again today studying, I ask that grace abound, the eyes of each one's understanding being flooded with light. The revelation of God's word grows big in the hearts of your people until nothing else matters. Thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, I want to welcome all of you to class today. Our vision is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. All right, so today we're going to continue with our classes. Last week was our class, week 22, Pastor Sean?
Yes, it was week 22. We're doing week 23 today.
Okay, so last week we dealt with ministry mentorship, and we talked about knowing of whom thou hast learned. And we saw that Pastor Paul was talking to Timothy about being very careful about who you learn from, and that you must always stick to only the message. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. So at the end of the day, what matters is my course, the faith, not buildings, not TV stations, not the trips around the world. And we say that message cannot be compromised. Then we also talked about statements that show relationship, trust, deep association. Mentorship must involve more than just mere surface issues. And we began to talk about the fact that in mentorship, you deal with fondness, you deal with straightforwardness. In mentorship, you deal with the fact that it's a relationship. And it's clear that in mentorship, there are instructions, because we're going to be dealing with doctrine. And that relationship between a mentee and a mentor is brought via deep teaching, And then we concluded last week by talking about, to aspire to stay on course with the message and please Christ despite pressures and demands on you by ministry. All right, so today we're going to be looking at week 23, the conclusion of understanding ministry mentorship. Now, as we earlier explained, Brother Paul and Timothy and Paul and Titus are our major testament father-son mentorship examples. Brother Paul and Titus are our major New Testament father and son mentorship examples. And then much lies in Paul's letters to them on leadership. A lot of it lies on the letters that Brother Paul wrote to Timothy and the letters that Brother Paul wrote to Titus on the mentorship. And then we can summarize everything that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus in a few words. The summary of all that Paul told Timothy about ministry and all told Paul told Titus about ministry can be summarized in the following words, and they're just few words. I'd like you to take note of everything I'm going to say that defines what Paul told Timothy as instructions on mentorship. Number one, keep. Number two, stay. Number three, no. Number four, flee. Number five, preach. Number six, avoid. Number seven, withdraw. Number eight, pray. Number nine, be diligent. Number 10, stir up. 11, neglect not. 12, be bold. 13, be not ashamed. 14, keep yourself pure. 15, keep your doctrine pure. 15, do not want to be rich. Do not want to be rich. 16, do not serve God for money. Do not serve God for money. 17, watch your company. Watch your company. 18, watch your desires. Watch your desires. 19, be an example. Be an example. 20, take heed. Take heed. 21, do not follow the crowds. They come and go. Do not follow the crowds. They come and they go. That's a summary of all that Paul told Timothy and Titus. Let me go over the list again. Keep, stay, know, flee, preach, avoid, withdraw, pray, be diligent, stir up, neglect not, be bold, be not ashamed, keep yourself pure, keep your doctrine pure. Do not want to be rich. Do not serve God for money. Watch your company. Watch your desires. Be an example. Take heed. Do not follow crowds. They come and go. All of this is towards one purpose. All the instructions Paul gave to Timothy and Titus is towards one purpose: to please Christ. To please Christ. To stand before him having kept the message. To stand before him having kept the message. The purpose is one, to please Christ and to stand before him having kept the message. As a final note, it was obvious that crowd appeal was never proof of fulfilling ministry. Crowd appeal was never proof of fulfilling ministry because crowds will come and go. As a final note, it was obvious crowd appeal was never proof of fulfilling ministry. Because crowds will come and go. Paul once had Asia, then he lost it again. Paul once had Asia, then he lost it again. But one thing you must never lose is the message. You must never lose the message. You must know the message well, that the message knows you well, and you are established in this message. It's very important. You must never lose the message. Glory to God. Now, I'd like you to take the assignments for this particular course. Then we'll do one more course before we close. This is the end of this particular course. Those instructions and the importance of staying true to those instructions and not allowing the influence of getting accepted by certain people influence your position. So, the assignment: draw out text in Paul's letters to Timothy. Assignment number one, draw out text in Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus. Draw out the text in Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus where these statements can be found and located. Where these statements can be found and located. Draw out text in Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus where these statements can be found and located. Number one, keep. Number two, stay. Just the same list we had before. Number three, no. Number four, flee. Number five, preach. Number six, avoid. Number seven, withdraw. Number eight, pray. Number nine, be diligent. Number 10, stay off. Number 11, neglect not. Number 12, be bold. 13, be not ashamed. 14, keep yourself pure. 15, keep your doctrine pure. 16, do not want to be rich. 17, do not serve God for money. 18, watch your company. 20, watch your desires. 21, be an example. 22, take heed. 23, do not follow crowds because they come and they go. Now let's move quickly to week 24. Week 24. My father and my father. my father and my father, examining the concept of a father in the Lord, or the concept of spiritual fatherhood, examining the concept of a father in the Lord, or spiritual fatherhood. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9. It says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven." I repeat, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven." Someone with the aid of the above scripture approached me with the aim of finding out if the concept of referring to one believer as father in the Lord is not an error. And these are my answers to him. Number one, I told him a basic rule of Bible study is contextual reading. A basic tool of Bible study is contextual reading. It goes therefore, read the pretext several verses before the text. It is safest to start where the maker of the statement began. Read the pretext several verses before the text. It is safest to start where the maker of the statement begins, or where the statement on the study takes its distinction from. Read the pretext several verses before the text. It is safest to start where the maker of the statement began, or where the statement under study takes its direction, distinction from. Now observe the words like therefore. Therefore are conditional. Therefore are conditional. But, B-U-T, infers an exception or a contrast. But, it infers an exception or a contrast. Then now faith is. Many times, you know, grammatical text means therefore. Now means therefore. It wasn't talking of timing. It means therefore. You can also see where it is used in 1 John 3:2, 1 John 3:2, and Hebrews 11:1. The word now, it means therefore in Bible language. Now read the post-text, several verses after the text. This helps understand the destination of the statement. You read the pretext, you read the post-text to determine the text. This helps understand the destination of the statement. Else, you might end up picking words like Judas went to hang himself. Go and do thou likewise. Whatever you need to do, do quickly. Obviously, this is what reading scriptures out of context does. It makes the Bible say what the Bible is not saying. Reading scriptures out of context makes the Bible say what the Bible is not saying. So back to Matthew 23, verse 9. Saying, "Thou, the scribes and Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe not. And do ye not after them, do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Verse 5. "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their salteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Verse 6. "And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue." Verse 7. "And greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi." 8. "But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren." So obviously, this writer, Matthew, was referring to the hypocrites of the Pharisees. Hypocrites of the Pharisees. The preceding verses in Matthew 23, 10 to 14 says, "Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." Then verse 9 now says, before this, what we just read. Therefore, it makes sense to say, call none of these Pharisees and teachers of or your fathers. Call none of these Pharisees your teachers or your fathers. The phrase no man, call no man, actually does not have the word man in the original text. It can be better understood as call none. Call none. Call none. You will see the use of that word in John chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all. And none is able to pluck them out of my Father's house. Man is not the focus. It is anyone or no one. It is anyone or no one. Then said that said, in simple Bible study, you need more than a verse to lay a doctrinal practice. In simple Bible study, you need more than a verse to establish doctrinal practice. Scriptural reference is two or three witnesses. Scriptural reference is two or three witnesses. You will see that in Matthew 18:6, 1 Corinthians 14:27 and 29, 2 Corinthians 13:1. I go over it again. Matthew 18:16. 1 Corinthians 14:27. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Matthew 18:16 says, but if ye will not hear, then take with thee one or two witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. In settling disputes, he now says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by cause, and let one interpret. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. In judging inspirational gifts of the Spirit, he quotes 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So we should require more than a statement. Besides, we must read the entire scriptures to see all the contents. We must read through the entire scriptures to see all the contents in a contextual application. To see all the contents in a contextual application. If the verse was meant to mean, do not call anyone your father, then it is either you are being taught to live in denial or to be disrespectful. It's either you are taught to be in denial or to be respectful. This, however, is not so. As Jesus did refer to fathers, let's examine two or more evidences. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. Matthew 19:19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he refers to Exodus 20:12. Exodus 20:12. He must be regarding earthly fathers then. Then Luke 11:11. If a son shall lack bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? He establishes a relationship of dependence and supply called father and son. He establishes a relationship of dependence and supply called father and son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 12, Luke 15, 11 to 12. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. This parable, just like others, acknowledges fathers other than God. It acknowledges fathers other than God. In fact, in a certain place, he acknowledges the fatherhood rights of the devil. He acknowledges the fatherhood rights of the devil. In John 8:44, he says, John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the loss of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. You can safely say that God is father to those who have faith in Christ. God is father to those who have faith in Christ. In John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 20:17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Men who are responsible for the natural procreation of fellow human beings. Men who are responsible for the natural procreation of fellow human beings are scripturally referred to as fathers too. So the question now lingers, is there any basis for having spiritual fathers or fathers in the Lord? Well, the term father was translated from the Greek word pater, P-A-T-E-R, with several shades of meaning, which include a pater is a nourisher, one who supplies food and sustenance. A pater is a nourisher, one who supplies food and sustenance. A pater is a protector, one who guides and shields. Pater is a protector, one who guides and shields. Kata is an upholder, a helper in perilous times. Upholder, a helper in perilous times. Progenitor, progenitor, that's for fourth one. Progenitor, oftentimes used for ancestors. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1, our fathers all passed under the clouds. Then Hebrews 1, 1. At sundry times in diverse manners, the prophet spoke unto the fathers, and in this last spoken to us in his son. It was used for the ancestors of the Jews. Jesus used the term children also in describing a relationship, not in a natural terms. A relationship that precedes natural terms. John 21 verse 5, very instructive. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. They were not his natural offspring, and historically many were older than him. Believers were referred to as children of other believers and fathers, consequently and subsequently. Now, if you observe, Brother Peter, very important, one of the foremost founding apostles of the Lamb. In 1 Peter 5:13, it says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluted you, and so doth Marcus, my son. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluted you, and so doth Marcus, my son. 3 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. We have seen Peter. Let's see John. 3 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Paul also spoke about it in Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travel in brought again until Christ be formed in you. This obviously was a well-defined relationship of mentorship, guidance, and training. It was not a title, it was a responsibility born out of teaching. For example, every time you people are, you know, privileged to call me Papa, I do not hear like an office somewhere. I just hear that I'm the authority here, and it puts a great sense of responsibility. So it was not a title, it was a relationship that is born out of teaching. In 2 Timothy 2:12, I love the way Timothy puts it, 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, Paul was responsible for Timothy's doctrinal persuasion. Don't miss that. Paul was responsible for Timothy's doctrinal persuasion. He was not the only preacher when Timothy received Christ. He met Paul as a believer. In Acts 16:1-3, Acts 16, verse 1 to 3. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. All of them knew that Paul's father was a Greek. So now he takes him to baptize him. And Paul acknowledged this in 2 Timothy 1:5. Brother Paul acknowledged this in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it is in thee also. I am persuaded that it is in you also. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, 3:15, and that from a child I was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yet he was Paul's son by doctrinal persuasion. I'm talking of Timothy. Also, Timothy was still his son by training. Timothy was Paul's son in every ramification. He was a loyal son. Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the Lord's, and not things which are Jesus Christ's. But you shall know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. He has served with me in the gospel. So a spiritual father is a training, one who builds ministry into you. Fathers in the faith are instructors in doctrine. They are trainers by example. First Corinthians 4:15. It says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So a father is also someone who invests trust in you, especially the fact that he will acknowledge you, endorse you, and approve you the same way God did for Jesus. That's a genuine father. He will instruct you in doctrine. He will acknowledge you. He will endorse you and approve you the same way God did for Jesus. That's a father. In Matthew 3:17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And thus for us believers, 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. This was what Paul did for Timothy. Fathers are givers, not takers. Just like our Heavenly Father, whom all fathers must mirror. They are givers, not takers. And they must mirror their lives the same way Jesus mirrored his to us. In the book of 2 Corinthians 12:14, he said, behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. They are not to turn this God-given privilege to an anointed ATM. The son is supposed to lay. The father is supposed to lay for the son, and not the son for the father. That's very critical. And that scripture we read is in 2 Corinthians 12:14. 12:14. In 1 Peter 5:2, Peter says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. See that? They must not be seen as lords. They must not be seen as lords, but fathers, not for filthy lucre or for money, rather for oversight, care, and exemplary in conduct. See that? Very important. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are nurturers and not torturers. They are nurturers. Also very biblical to give financially to anyone responsible for our spiritual upbringing. It is scripturally right to give an offering to your pastor, the person laboring over you. It's very, very important. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Those who teach us the word and not prophesy money out of our pockets. Very important. First Timothy 5:17 and 18. He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Laborers in teaching, not one who frequently hires others to do his job, or one who rather than stay with the flock to feed and shepherd them junkets around the globe. 1 Corinthians 9, 11 and 14. 1 Corinthians 9, 11 and 14. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Even so had the Lord obtained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. Spiritual things refer to the ministry of the word. However, fathers do not make demands like you must give me such and such amount to bless you, which is what the normal Pentecostal charismatic churches do. You buy yourself a father, and your relevance in his life is dependent on your tithe and offering. That table has to be broken and totally burned to ashes in the next few days. So he now says in 1 Corinthians 9:11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So spiritual things refer to the ministry of the word. However, fathers do not make demands. Fathers never make demands. Fathers are not seeking for yours, but you. Fathers don't make demands like, you must give me such and such amount to bless you. Or, you must put me in five-star hotel. Send money to me monthly. Or, third question, can you pay my bills? Well, anybody who asks you those kind of questions is not a father. Such men are your sons and not sons, not fathers, since they are the demanding ones. Watch such depth encouraging relationships. A true father will remain true. He'll remain true a helper. He'll remain true a supplier, a succorer, and a teacher. A helper, a supplier, a succorer, and a teacher. It is apt to note, as earlier said, this term only describes relationships that are ongoing. Relationships that are ongoing. You must not look for a spiritual father. You do not look for a spiritual father. You only discover who it is being all along. Many have been blackmailed into manipulative associations. So the question again is, who is your spiritual father? If you say I'm not sure, you are immediately classed as independent-minded and unsubmissive. Immediately you say I'm not sure, you're immediately classified as independent-minded and unsubmissive. That is unscriptural. The basis is for a believer to be accountable to other believers. And this is primary in the local assembly. This is primary in the local assembly. Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Ephesians 10:25. Ephesians 5:21, don't forget that. Paul submitted to other believers, ministers, even though they didn't teach similar things, but he still submitted to them. In Galatians 2:2, Paul said, and I went up by revelation and committed unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. That is basic. Have a local church, have a pastor, ministers with whom you relate with and are accountable to. If along the way you discover who your spiritual father is, blessed are you. Have a local church, have a pastor, ministers with whom you relate with and are accountable to you. If along the line you discover who your spiritual father is, blessed are you. If you do not know your father, discover your father. The father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the father of light, as were his light, remaineth your father still. What a class tonight. He remains your father still. Doctrine, very critical. Doctrine. Very, very critical. All right, let's answer a few questions tonight before I answer your questions and go. Assignment number 16. Question one, what did Jesus mean by call no man your father upon the earth? What did Jesus mean by saying, call no man your father upon the earth? In Matthew 23, verse 9. What conduct and attitude was he addressing in relation to the man he was referring to? What conduct and attitude was he addressing in relation to the man he was referring to? Number two, exhaustively explain the role of a father or the role a father is supposed to play for the minister of the gospel in ministry. Question three, how is a father recognized? How is a father recognized? Glory to God. Father, I pray for every student of this academy that these words will resonate in the understanding and in the minds and hearts of each student. And that, Lord, these truths will be so explosive in the minds and hearts of each student that we're not ashamed of proclaiming Christ and making him known in spite of the hostility in the world. I pray, therefore, that every student here, revelation knowledge continues to abound. You have utterance, you have boldness to declare God's counsel like never before. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that you are a sharp new threshing instrument having teeth. I decree that God will use you to dismantle and bulldoze the kingdom of darkness. You are kept, you are preserved. You are bound in all that Christ has made available. It is well with you. I decree that in this class, there is a work of grace going on in your heart. And I declare that each one of you is strategically positioned to make impact in your world like never before. I thank you, Father, for answered prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Pastor T, that's it from me tonight. If there are questions, I will answer them.
Amen. Thank you so much, Papa. Could I just crave your indulgence to read question number two one more time, please, Papa?
Question number two says,
Yes.
glory to God. Question number two of the assignment says, exhaustively explain the role a father is supposed to play for the minister of the gospel in ministry. The role a father is supposed to play for the minister of the gospel in ministry. How
All
is a
right.
father recognized? That's question. How is a father recognized? Are we clear now?
Yes, Papa. Thank you very much.